your porch lights off because they're coming home with a trophy.
Hello and welcome to the final episode of Sharkcast Radio for 2018, a weekly podcast on all things Cronulla Sharks through the football season. I am your host, Sharks fanatic Newman, and I'm joined as I am every week by my fellow Sharks fanatic Sam Shinazzi, and we are brought to you live and loud by the legends at Dyson Logistics. We are recording at the Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking. We drink Shark Island Brewing Company beer. We get our lawns mowed by Endeavour Property Services, and we're fueled by LGB supplements. How are you, Samuel?
I'm good. I'm a bit disgruntled because you said you're the host, so what am I, the cleaner or something?
One host.
Fair enough. How are you?
I'm well.
That's good to hear.
Good hosting.
Well, look, the season's over. It's over a week too early. It was one that we'll remember as what could have been. Injury
yes.
circumstances. We will get into it. We lost to Melbourne fairly badly. Why don't we have a little chat about that?
Well, the official records will read that the Sharks were rolled in the prelim final 22 points to 6 in Melbourne against Melbourne. Our backs were always against the wall, but since then, the records will also read that the Sydney Roosters went on to beat the Melbourne Storm 21 points to 6. And we will look back on this season as an massive opportunity lost for two reasons. One, we had the Roosters on toast, and beating them in round one of the grand of the semi-finals could have meant something completely different. And two, we were in that Melbourne game until we blew it.
We were in it, but did you really think we had a chance? I think if we play 100% amazing football, we're in with a chance, but no Gallen, no Graham. A lot of injuries in the game. Fecky went off after 20 because they tried to kill him. Completions were not great. Penalties were worse. I just thought it was an uphill battle, Newman, and they made it harder
for
themselves.
The first 4 minutes were really good.
Yeah, we defended well. There was a lot of muscle.
Our defense was really strong, and it looked a bit like the grand final.
Yeah.
Melbourne were struggling to bring the ball out of their own end. But when Ricky Latelli dropped that ball on a very standard carry and we followed it up with a penalty, the writing was on the wall. But again, I'm going to say this season has been an opportunity lost. Losing in the prelim, as bad as it sounds, is probably reflective of where we were this season.
Oh, sure. And we'll get into some of those stats soon, Newman. But, I mean, we're all disappointed we lost. People like me who are a little bit more pessimistic from time to time, I honestly, hand on my heart, didn't think we had a chance.
No. And
which is wrong because we did have a chance.
You and I before the game were exchanging text messages saying that we were both extremely negative about our chances.
Mm.
When Gallen was out, it just didn't have the feel about 2016 at all. It felt like it was someone else's fairy tale. It's going to go down as I spoke to someone from the coaching group earlier this week, and they said, what an opportunity lost for the Sharks. They had the Roosters beaten. You put the Roosters into that second week, anything can happen to them. The Storm proved that they were eminently beatable in a neutral environment. And now you look at the ledger of who's leaving the club and who's coming to the club.
Yeah, the window's shutting.
The window's shut.
I'm not going to say it's shut, but it's shutting for the time being. And we'll get into some of that later as well. Newman, people like Aaron Woods played themselves into Australian jerseys. He was our best forward, I thought. He ran for over 130 metres. He started at lock.
Yeah.
Ended up playing close to 60 minutes.
Good player and a good dude.
The team actually tried extremely hard. No one's begrudging him that. Like, they put in. You know, your boy Lewis almost died in the field. He tried that hard.
Yeah, it was a bit of an inglorious end to Luke Lewis's career.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just he was obviously, I don't mean that as in a disparaging way. I mean,
I know.
He was sort of on one leg. Playing in a team that had a lot of injuries, that had their backs against the wall. And it was like this nauseating Billy Slater circle jerk, which was irritating the hell out of me because, you know...
Billy who listens to us is going to ask what that is, who's dad.
Well...
Anyway, move on.
Yes, moving on. This narrative we're getting about how everybody loves Billy Slater. And Billy Slater, a brilliant player, but he's a divisive character on the field, as we've now seen, right? But all we heard about was Billy Slater's wonderful and everyone's going to be sad he's retiring. We didn't hear peep about Luke Lewis, who himself has won two grand finals, represented his country, represented his state, done absolutely, won the Clive Churchill medal, won just about everything in the game, and yet he doesn't rate a mention?
We heard a peep, but it was a Slater fest. He was at home, and I think the powers that be might have known that they were going to go on for another week, the Melbourne Storms, and therefore the fairy tale was set up for him to...
I know, but I was rightfully irritated. He was my favourite player.
I know. Still is, probably.
And Valentine Holmes is your favourite player. And if the shoe was on the other foot, you would be equally irritated. And I think I got a good case here.
I was irritated.
Luke Lewis is more universally loved than Billy Slater.
Of course.
You'll struggle. You'll find... Walk out of Caring Bar Pub now.
Let's go.
And you'll ask, what do you think of Billy Slater?
That on this show.
Crap! Right? You walk into a pub in Queensland, so what do you think of Luke Lewis? Tough player, good player.
Well, I think we saw from the grand final, I mean, everyone knows the Storm tactics, and it's been largely successful for, 15 years?
100%.
My man Cooper Cronk was playing on one arm. And
that was weird.
It was weird. There was a lot of late but soft touches to his arm by Bill Slater and Cam Smith.
Yeah.
Like, that's how they play.
Just as an aside, I know it's a Sharks podcast.
Sure.
But how good was it watching them struggle? Like, they had no answers to what the Roosters played.
It was genius.
That was as close to perfect, that first 40 minutes, as you're going to see.
And you heard the coach afterwards, the way he spoke.
Oh, I didn't. Really that interesting.
Oh, my gosh. He had a plan. He had two plans. Cronk plays, Cronk doesn't play. He was in and out of the team all week. Yeah. What about this, Newman? I want my club to be a club how the Roosters performed off the field during the grand final. They knew to a man, and of course surrounding people, that Cronk had the injury that he had.
Yeah.
And they told Little Fib, which is totally their right to do so, and they said to each player and each surrounding, you know, board member and staff member, do not let this get out.
And that didn't get out.
It didn't get out.
Yeah,
that's not happening at our club or 10 other clubs in the NRL.
No, that shows a tight unit. It shows
a
tight
unit. And it helped on the field. He was just marching them around. He was there to coach them on the field. That's all he was doing.
I'm always very philosophical about these things, Sam, because I always look back to years like 2009 and 2014 where me and a lot of other people, 2011 as well, you know, those
don't
crappy
about 2010.
Years, 2010. Where we would sit down and say, all we want is to win our even spread of games. We actually said that. We'll be happy to just win our even spread of games, right? And now we win more than our even spread of games. We're in the mix every year. And we're thinking, well, we should be winning the grand final. Like, it felt really empty on Sunday afternoon, watching everyone in the ground excited. I'm like, that should be us.
Yeah, it should be. And I like the fact that we're in the position to be there. Coach Flanagan said as much in the press the next week that he and, you know, the support staff have got them to a point where flip a coin almost sometimes and we could be in a grand final. We're close. Yep. And that's a great place to be. I'm with you. I want to go one step further. I want to be the Storm or the Roosters and successful.
I'm not being critical of Flanagan.
No, you're not.
I think he's doing the right thing. But I actually had this discussion with my wife and I said, the Sharks missed an opportunity to have a dynasty here. We can argue the toss about whether the window is closed, but I think it's closed. I think we now enter a bit of a rebuilding phase. But the fact that in the last 5 years, when we've been gone deep just about every year, but we've only got one grand final appearance to show for it. Sure, we won that one grand final, which is great. I think he's a lost opportunity. And
yeah, of course.
If you look over those 5 years, you can say we underachieved that scale.
I look at things like 2012 or 13, Carney's injured in the final series, right?
Yeah.
We have, and we love him, but we have a Jeff Robson playing.
Yep.
And then we upgrade, and each year we get better.
Yep.
So Flanagan has worked to get better and better each year, Pinnacle being 2016. But I can see reasons why in 2012, 13, 15, we didn't go on with the job.
Well, you can make a reason for any team to not go on with the job. Look at the Roosters. They had every single excuse not to win that grand final because their $1.5 billion man was playing with one wing. When we won the comp, okay, we were strong. We had a strong team out there. But the week where we lost where we beat the Raiders, you know, Gallen and Graham out, there's an excuse. But they They rose above it, which is what champions need to do, right?
Missing Paul Gallen in the game against Melbourne, the prelim, we lost a lot of direction. We lost a lot of the hard yards.
100%.
And some guys definitely tried to make up for that. That was Big Andy, Pryor and Woods, obviously, the big boppers.
Yeah.
But he's hard to replace and then do your job on top of that. And
we were panicked on the field too, and I think that Gallen gets all this razz about he takes the hit up on the fourth, but it then allows our halves and Jaden Brayley to play from the same spots on the field all the time, and we looked really frantic and really panicked.
The halves were also kicking from a little bit further back.
Yeah.
So now you were a little bit upset with Matty Moylan in the prelim.
I was.
He didn't have a good game,
and I don't ever think he will unless he does. There's something that changes in his mentality. Mm. I just don't see him as a big game player. To me, he's a great player in that you play against the Warriors or something, and you're behind by 12. They start to tire. He can put on 3 tries and win you the game, round 16 or whatever. But when you put him in that pressure cooker environment where it's full pressure for 80 minutes, I just don't think it suits him. I just don't think he's that kind of player.
It might not suit him. I want to give him another year and then judge him on that. But it was a disappointing end for him, particularly coming off the game against Penrith the week before. Well, and there's a mental thing there where it's like he rises for those 3 games against Penrith. So we need him to do that on a weekly basis. He's obviously got it in him.
Well, he's the youngest young to ever young. So he's got the ability to improve. I'm not writing him off.
No, I know you're not. I know. And you were fair in some criticisms you had. The thing he's got to get out of his game, which we've discussed, is where he gets the ball, can't handle it, and then juggles it 8 times and drops it like it's the worst drop you've ever seen. It's like this exaggerated error.
Just dropping the ball off a dummy half pass.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
Now, Luke Lewis played 73 minutes. He's a champion. He'll forever be a champion. He was so gracious and humbled himself in the press interviews afterwards. He was thankful for his career, thankful to the fans especially. All-around good guy. We don't need to tell you that. We're also saying goodbye to Jesse Ramian, Big Edric Lee, Ricky Latelli.
Joey Paulo,
of course. So
a lot of players going out the door, mate.
Yeah, it will be a new era, and we might talk about that a little bit later. But yeah, disappointing to go down there. We know a lot of people that went down there to support the team.
Yeah, good on them too.
Good on them.
And what about our mate Jason D?
Now, what's Jason's story? I saw him on, I don't know if you saw it, it might have been the lead up to the coverage. There was a slow-mo of him, like in the crowd. And I think he was just standing there, but it was a slow-mo of Jason. Oh, right. I was like, wow, that's pretty intense.
Well, he's got a few, I hope you wouldn't mind me saying this, but he's got a, you know, he's a carer, so he's not rolling in money. So he couldn't afford a plane ticket down there. So he tried to rent a car, and then that didn't work out. So he just said, well, I'm going to catch the train. And his train journey was like 11 hours down there, arrived at 7 a.m.
Yeah, I've done that before.
In Melbourne.
A long time ago I did it.
Yeah,
it's brutal.
And then all day, then watched the game, then stayed up all night because he didn't have a hostel or anything, and then got on the train at 7 a.m. the next day. I mean, that's a marathon effort to come back to Sydney and just purely 100% to support the team. So kudos to you, Jason.
And the others like him, of course. That's better than you and I could ever do, my friend.
Where did you watch it?
Where did I watch it? I was in my homestead with my old man watching it, and my dad's a sort of supporter where it's never ever.
Yeah, right.
Whereas I was like, this is over after 10 minutes.
Yeah, it was 20-0 at halftime. We were gone.
Buckle in, Reno.
Yeah, unfortunately.
But that's okay. We live to fight another day, which is the beautiful thing about our club at the moment. So why don't we have a little break, Newman?
And when we come back on the other side, we'll have the news. This is Sharkcast Radio.
Hey, Newman, I bought some Sharks memorabilia off a dude in Queensland. I need to get it here as soon as possible, but the seller doesn't do shipping. I need it in a hurry. What am I going to do, buddy?
Mate, get straight on the phone to Dyson Logistics.
What's the deal with those guys?
Dyson Logistics can move anything from a small package to a 40-foot container, road, rail, sea freight, air freight, local, regional, international, and they will do it cheaper and quicker than those big corporate freight companies, and with better service too, because they have that personal family business touch.
Give me their number right now.
Hit them up on 0467-233-153. That's 0467-233-153. Or log on to the website, DysonLogistics.com.
A little birdie tells me they're also very big, passionate, long-time Cronulla Sharks fans as well. What a bonus. DysonLogistics.com. They go above and beyond. That's the Dyson difference.
The RMYC Port Hacking is a true hidden gem of the Sutherland Shire with million-dollar views for the price of a beer. A world-class venue located on the western side of Port Hacking, it has glorious views over the boat moorings up to Bundina.
Open to members and their guests, you can grab a drink in one of the two bars, sit on the deck, or on the lawn with the kids while they run around and watch the boats come and go. Yachty's Bistro is open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner and serves fresh, modern Australian dishes. Local seafood, steaks, my personal favourite, Newman, burgers that are high on flavour and low on price. There's a full TAB facility on Saturdays, and of course the Mighty Sharky games are on live and loud on all the big screens. Don't forget about Friday fishing, it's a hit with the kids.
And if you mention Sharkcast Radio, you get a free garlic bread. Get down to the RMYC Port Hacking, 228 Woolaware Road, Woolaware, or find them online, rmycph.com.au, or on Facebook as RMYC. The Royal Motor Yacht Club, Port Hacking, home of Sharkcast Radio.
So Gallen, oh, scrum base play, Barber. Barber scores. Gallen went to the blind side out of the pack. Picked the ball up, gave it in to Barber.
And now it's come to the time of the show where we see what news has washed in across Botany Bay towards the mangrove shores of the SCGS. There is plenty to get through, but the prelim final week wasn't all misery, and kudos has to go to our mate, Dave Howlett, because the Sharks jersey flag ran out premiers against the Penrith Panthers, which means we ended the Panthers season in all three grades.
Yeah, that's pretty good. They ran out 22-12 victors at Leichhardt Oval. You were there.
Was in the coach's box.
Wow. How was Dave?
I sort of let myself into the coach's box, which I was admonished for.
Bloody
later
man.
On.
You're always just... You're in his grill, aren't you?
I
so like, tell me what you did. You snuck in?
I snuck in and just stood at the back.
How many... Has he got a staff of two or three? Or
there's four of them in there.
Four? What's he got? A stats guy? A guy on the...
Yeah, they have... You know, a guy... He has his assistant coach up there and he has a stats guy. And then they have... They get a... A monitor, which there's a New South Wales Rugby League camera there, yep. And they plug that in, and then there's someone there doing like getting replays up and all that stuff. And I must say, even though they were winning, when I got into the, I went to the box. It was like 20 seconds to go, right?
Oh, okay.
So I slipped into the box.
Well,
the game was done, right? The game was done.
Yeah.
It was very tense,
really?
And very hot.
But
they were very happy and relieved. And I'll tell you what, they were outsiders in that game. Penrith were the gun team all year. And I'll tell you what, Tricky Trindle has referred...
Are we calling him that?
His last name's Trindle.
Yeah, I know.
It was against the law to give him any other nickname.
Okay. I'm just
that's what they call him in the squad.
I'm just asking.
All right. So he was unbelievable.
Yep.
His kicking game was phenomenal.
Where is he in the pecking order? He's behind Kyle.
Yeah, behind Kyle.
He's a couple of years younger.
Yeah, and he sort of came from nowhere. They were worried about not having any halves, and he sort of firmed into contention and he's improved.
Is he going to be in the age bracket to play again next year? Or
don't know that.
Don't know.
You tend to find that if you win the comp, you've got to, like the way it stands, is the majority of your squad is older.
Ah, okay.
Bronson Cherry was pretty good, very strong, scored a try, and Ferris on the other edge.
Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, was also very good. Monty Raper, very good. And also the cult hero at the Newtown Jets, Isaac Loomy, was very strong, and pencil him in. If he can get a bit of the rawness out of his game, he could be anything.
So Loomy is still young enough to play in that age bracket.
Yeah.
But he's been playing the New South Wales Cup.
That's right.
Where, by all accounts, he struggled a little bit.
He struggled, yeah.
But that's an age thing maybe, right?
Well, both Brayley and Flanagan are also, they're also eligible for jersey flag.
Really?
So, yeah. So you think that Blake Brayley, you put Blake Brayley and Kyle Flanagan into
Kyle's played NRL already.
Yeah, into that side. That's a fair under 20 side. So there's a lot of depth at the club, and that's exciting, and I'm really excited for my mate. Congratulations to him.
So let's talk about your mate. He's won a few premierships now.
Yep.
what's next for him? Will clubs come hunting for him at some point?
I know the Newtown Jets were courting him, but I think that Coach Matto is going to go around again, so that's not going to happen. And he keeps that very close to his chest.
But that's how it works, right? It's like the player market. The guys who have success,
exactly.
The bigger clubs want to.
I know there are clubs knocking on his door, but he won't tell me that because you know what he says.
What?
Everything I tell you ends up on the podcast.
Well, it's true.
Don't say that, Sam.
Even the stuff he doesn't tell you ends up on the podcast.
So congratulations to him. I was super thrilled. He's a really good mate of mine.
Great guy.
And I was thrilled for him to win. And also thrilled that the Sharks won the premiership. Unfortunately, the Newtown Jets blew it, Sam.
Yeah, they lost 18-12. I was watching this one on my TV and I had your dulcet tones going for a while too.
Did it match up the commentary? And
almost.
The,
yeah, almost. Yeah, okay. It was watchable, like listenable watchable. You're on there with some characters. I say that every time we talk about this, but and that's not a criticism. That's a genuine. They're characters.
Yeah, Steel Sports is. Yeah. It's a different approach. You know, we're not going to try and replicate what Fox or Nine are doing. There's no point.
No. It's good. It's entertaining. I did hang out with your man Albie last week.
He's a good man.
For the first time. He's a great man.
But I must say, though, the Steel Sports, we had a box with Steel Sports, so we were doing the call, and we had Mary from Ladies Who League, Ladies Who League Spin, Chris Gale from Fire Up, and what do they call it? The Back Row is his show, or Weekend Legends or whatever. He's on Triple M.
Oh, yeah.
Dave Ray, the great Newtown man. So,
cast of thousands.
Yeah, a couple of the guys from the Full Credit to the Boys podcast.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, there's a really good independent rugby league community being built up around Steel Sports, and we're trying to make something happen.
Samuel. Are you thinking a network?
We'll see. Watch this space.
I'll watch this space. I'm always watching this space.
Yeah, but they blew it.
Yeah.
Disappointing.
Wasn't a great game.
It was a horrible game. They should have won. They had enough opportunities to win the game 20 times over. I have to say, Will Kennedy, who had played the lights out for the 4 to 5 weeks prior, had a Barry Crocker and butchered about 3 tries.
Our friend Big Mig's going to be disappointed. That's his hero in life.
I know. He's
not going to give up on him. Either way.
Kyle Flanagan couldn't get the job done. Yeah, it was just, and then Matt Evans out on the wing gifted the game to the Dogs, who did nothing. They just
there was some weird turnover at, last try. Yeah, that was disappointing.
Yeah, and Matt Evans had been, he's certainly not a glamorous player. He's actually a half that they pushed out onto the wing.
He's a jet through and through, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a jet through and through. Yeah. And he'd been a very, very serviceable player in about a million positions for them, so it was unfortunate that he did that. Big Braden Welly didn't have his best game. I'll tell you who is good for the Jets. And see, Manafana guy, right? He's too good for that grade.
Yeah, I'd be disappointed if he's not in first grade next year. I didn't think he played bad for us at all. I mean, he wasn't amazing, but he was solid. He's a good size. He's got good athleticism for a guy that size. And I'd be surprised if he's not in the 17 next year.
And my other one from the Jets, who to watch, obviously Kyle Flanagan, they're watching his progress a great deal. But I think the one who make the call up is number 11, the hitman, Britton Nakora.
Yeah, and we're going to need some edge players next year due to people leaving an injury. So I think you're right. I think he's primed.
What's great is he runs that Luke Lewis line. He almost copies it off Luke Lewis. So hopefully we won't lose too much there if Britton gets the call up. What else we got in the way in the news, Samuel?
So speaking of young Sharks, Blake Brayley and Kyle Flanagan have been chosen in the 18-man Junior Kangaroos.
Good
They're
work.
Playing in a couple of weeks' time. That'll be on the Fox Network, I believe, and also
that'll be a package deal, right? I reckon, if one of them gets picked for a rep team,
they got
to pick the other.
The big boys. So moving up a little bit, we've got the Prime Minister's 11. Prime Minister being Mr. Scott Morrison.
Oh, now news.
Yeah,
you may, unless you follow the I'm sure a lot of people follow the Sharks socials, but
of course they do.
The entire staff, players, administration,
corporation.
Went to Kirribilli House and Scott Morrison put a barbecue on for them.
Our mate Rob Willis was there with the Prime Minister.
I know.
Having a cup of tea.
A beer, I think.
Beer.
And Robbie was like, not a lot of the players were all dressed up. Robbie just had like his golf jacket on. We're not going to get into the politics of Scott Morrison.
Okay.
We've set our piece on that. It's not a political podcast. But that is a bizarre time, right, when the Prime Minister invites the entire team to a barbie.
It was his first function, I believe, at the house.
I mean, that dispels any myth that he's like a plastic supporter for me.
Yeah, I heard some report that he was a Roosters man and then
he
moved.
That was me. He grew up in the eastern suburbs.
I mean, he's got a lot of money to waste, but if he's wasted it on 300 people from Cronulla, it's pretty good.
Well, we paid for it, Sam.
Yeah, we did. I'm still working.
Enjoy that, Rob. Enjoy the beers.
Thanks, Robbie. Speaking of the Prime Minister, which we were, his 13 side, Prime Minister's 13, playing in the PNG. Jesse Rami and Aaron Woods, Chad Townsend and Matt Pryor were picked. I'm not sure if Woods is going to stay there because we'll get to that in a second. They're taking on PNG, which also features James Seguiaro. And the big boys, the Australian team, will feature Valentine Holmes and Aaron Woods. The Kangaroos against New Zealand and Tonga.
Well, well-deserved. Both Valentine's shown himself to be an absolutely elite player. He was a little bit quiet in that semi-final for mine, but we didn't have much go forward for him to play off the back of, and we kept dropping the ball. So, you know, he did try to inject himself, but probably not as much as most people would like. But, yeah, well-deserved, and he won a slew of awards. Probably get onto that.
And, yeah, Woodsy, it's pretty good. Swapping mid-year and back at playing for Australia.
Yeah, good player.
He's a good player. He's going to be handy next year, too, with Lewis leaving and the year after with Gallen leaving. So it's a good recruitment from...
Aren't we going to start the rumours now about whether Gallen's going to go around for another year, 2020?
Well, we can do that, but he's already announced he's not going to, and he's a man of his word. So I'm going to back him in to retire. The book's already being written, so...
Is that right? Will you be reading the book?
Will I be? Yeah.
Okay.
Why wouldn't I? You're suggesting I'm not a Sharks fan?
Well, I'm suggesting you can be a Sharks fan and not read Paul Gallen's book.
I want to know his thoughts.
Okay.
I see him a lot in the media, and I know a lot of them, but I want to get the inside word. I'm a fan for sure. Monty Porter Medal Awards last night. Last night being, what night was it? Tuesday night.
Now, you got a Guernsey, and you didn't go.
I didn't go. I've been blessed to go more times than I would ever thought in my life, which is four or five. Both through an old acquaintance of ours and our more recent work with them. It was in the city.
Yeah, I know, which seems better. I was
more of a night out.
More of a night out, yeah.
The last
couple of times we went, I rode my bike in my suit. Kind of felt a little bit
still good nights, though.
It was still great nights, but I think a night of that gravitas deserves...
Could be a Barry Russell thing. Hey, yeah. Let's go to the city.
Yeah, so I'm led to believe it was a good night.
The winner of the big award was Valentine Holmes.
Yep.
He was the Monty Porter medal winner. I
couldn't see him giving it to anybody else.
Nah, he should have won every award out there. The runners-up in contention were Chad, Matt, Moylan, Big Andy, and, Val won it. I don't know about Moylan and Chad being there.
No.
Consistency-wise.
You got to put someone there, I suppose.
We had a lot of good players. Mm. Tommy Bishop Players Player Award, the one that means the most to players, I would have thought. I'm throwing my language tonight. Valentine Holmes won that.
Yep.
The Steve Rogers Rookie of the Year. Yeah, I don't know if he's a rookie. Jesse Ramian.
Not a rookie.
Good player, though.
He might be
a rookie. He might be a rookie if he played less than five games. Oh, there is that rule.
He went to England and played in the World Club Challenge.
No, but that's the NRL rule. Because he was in the running for this year's NRL Rookie of the Year.
But
so
didn't
he
play in 2016 too?
I think one game.
Yeah, it's not a rookie. Anyway.
2016? Oh, I don't know about 2016.
Yeah, he played against Newcastle, didn't he?
I think you're thinking of 2017.
All right.
We're now in 2018.
Okay. Anyway.
And we also had... very deserving winner of the Sharks Support Community Award, which was Mr. Edric Lee.
Slick Eddie.
And he does a lot of great work for charities and so mm-hmm. forth. Members Player of the Year. Look, I might have voted a few times. Valentine Holmes. Who would have you? Luke Lewis, you're a Luke Lewis man.
I didn't even vote. I don't know what happened. I members emails
I took
anymore.
Your vote and I voted for you.
Yeah, well,
Adam
there
Newman,
you go.
Valentine Holmes.
So he had to get a ute to take all these medals home. Yeah?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Jersey Flegg, the Gav Miller Player of the Year, Braden Trindle.
Yep.
Tricky.
Tricky.
The Greg Pierce player's player is Luke Polisselli.
Fullback, yeah.
Fullback.
Very
and
good
player. Yeah, and the Flag Wellbeing and Education Excellence Award went to Monty Raper.
Monty Raper. One, a great story about Monty Raper's name. He's related to both the Raper family, so Stuart Raper, Aaron Raper, and Monty Porter. And that's how he got that name, Monty Raper. Yeah, so he comes from good rugby league stock.
Seem like you're right.
Big bopper. If you haven't seen him play, he's like big, blonde-headed, straight off the farm. Sort of like a Adam Rootson type, maybe even.
I was going to say it's hard to judge props at that age, as in to go have a future in the NRL. But you mentioned Adam Rootson.
Yep.
That's not bad comparison.
Yep.
We had the NRL Iron Men, so they played all the games they were available for.
Hang on, I haven't read the rundown, so let me guess.
Sure.
Matt Pryor.
Correct.
Chad.
Correct.
That's it.
Well, the title of what I'm saying gives it away, of which they were available. So there's some players that weren't available, but they played every other game.
That's all I got.
The future, Valentine Holmes.
Oh, wow.
So played everything but the 1 week of origin, yeah. Try of the year, Jesse Aramian, round 11 versus the Bulldogs. I think that was that solo effort from like 25 out, beat five guys. I think that was the one.
That was unbelievable, that try.
Eddie needed a truck too. The NRL Wellbeing and Education Excellence Award went to Edric Lee.
Uh-huh.
And the ET Club Person of the Year, Adam Newman. Sam Madden.
Adam Newman, please.
Sam Madden, he's physio.
I'm blackballed.
Is he something? Is he the physio, Sam Madden?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's the physio. So congratulations to Sam. I think that's all the news we have. Is that correct?
That is all the news we have had, other than, do we have any other news about the podcast or anything?
No, we're just doing one now.
We're just doing it. That'll be it for the year, unfortunately, Sam.
I think if I say that's all the news, that's like your key to go.
Oh, I'm a professional, all right? So it's my key to go. Cut to a break, and we come back on the other side. We'll have the letters. This is Sharkcast TV. Oh, no.
Hey!
This is Sharkcast Radio,
hit by lightning.
Voice of the fans.
Hey, Newman, I'm selling my house, but the gardens are a mess. Can you help me out, buddy?
I wish I had time, Sam, but why don't you give Craig from Endeavour Property Services a call? A qualified horticulturalist, Craig specialises in pre- and post-sale garden cleanups and makeovers, as well as regular maintenance.
Sounds good, man. How do I get in touch with him?
Get in touch with Craig on 0424 294 321. That's 0424 294 321 or endeavourpropertyservices@yahoo.com. If you mention you listen to the Sharkcast, you get a 10% discount. Endeavour Property Services.
LGB Supplements is the Shire's number one store for supplements and proteins. They have a wide range of supplements, including proteins, pre-workouts, and fat burners, on top of a massive range of exercise accessories, including boxing gear, activewear, gym gear, and water bottles.
Newman, it's free delivery Shire-wide and a price beat guarantee. Best prices anywhere. 10% price beat. The website is www.teamlgb.com.au. Just again, www.teamlgb.com.au. They're at Shop 6, 10 Waratah Road, Engadine. It's 20% off for Sharkcast listeners.
On top of that, they have friendly, accessible boot camps for all levels to shift those extra kilos. They have them in the Engadine area, and there's a boot camp at Woolooware coming soon. LGB, life's getting better.
Fafita tries to crash his way over, he does! Fafita got the ball over the line! Michael Innes and Ben Barber celebrate!
Five,
they
mate.
Saw what I saw!
I've got try.
We the all saw what you saw!
Give me a ticket for an aeroplane. Ain't got time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home.
And now it's kind of the time of the show where we see what little Sharky who rips around the neighborhood on a high-vis motorbike has jammed into the slot. You can get us, sharkcastpod@gmail.com, or we are Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Yammer, MySpace.
What's a Yammer?
MSN Messenger, @sharkcastpod.
Is Yammer a thing?
There's a million of those things. Blogger, Squarespace,
YouTube.
What's the really old thing? Friendster.
We're on Spotify.
What?
Did you not? Did I not tell you that?
I did not.
In
know
our
that.
Weekly production meetings.
Shouldn't we get paid for that?
I don't know. I get a little bit paid? For music. Maybe we'll see. But yeah, if you go to Sharkcast, there's actually like a hip hop guy from somewhere. He's called Sharkcast, but then there's us.
Wow.
And you can subscribe on Spotify. So you can. Do we definitely encourage you to follow us?
Just
on, there.
On an aside, is Spotify like the greatest invention of the last 20 years?
A million pros, couple of cons. But as a musician, it's become handy for me. Yeah.
No, but just
as a fan,
music,
sure. I've discovered like, a lot of stuff.
The fact that you now just have the entire, you know, catalog yeah. of recorded music that you can just dial up at any time and play whenever you like. That's crazy.
In all honesty, Newman, I've found that, especially the last, say, I don't know, 3 to 4 months, I'm listening to new music and discovering new music rather than going back to like all my favorites from however long ago. Like I'm not going to my catalog. I'm on Spotify recommends, all that kind of stuff. And it's always really good stuff. And I've discovered probably 10 acts in the last 2 months that I really like, and I've bought their products elsewhere.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Well, you may not have found them without Spotify, so Spotify's good for them, but there's only one band left now. There's only one band worth listening to.
One band left.
Yeah.
Is it the Gaslight Anthem?
No. Hot Snakes.
Hot Snakes. You like Hot Snakes.
Do yourself a favour.
I reckon I saw
like
them.
Hot Snakes, mate.
You love
I don't like
them. I reckon I saw them once at the Annandale. Is that possible?
Yeah, I was there.
When was that?
Sensational gig.
Who was it with? There was someone else playing as well.
I don't remember who.
When
was
it? It was a while ago.
It was like 2008.
Yeah, I was there. One of those shows.
Sickening show.
Oh, brilliant! Yeah. Was that their first tour?
I think they played twice the Annandale, so maybe.
Was there one before that?
There was one legendary one where they almost tore the roof off it.
I feel like I was at one of the. It's hard to say.
Anyway, but. They should be. Go and check out their.
Are they back?
They got a new album out called Jericho Sirens.
Yeah.
And it's just like flown in completely under the radar.
Mm.
And if you like good music, particularly if you like driving guitar rock, you can't go wrong. It's a 10 out of 10, 5-star.
I'm going to listen to that.
Best
album
in the next, the last 10 years.
Might listen to that tonight later on the old headphones.
And it's Swami John Rhys, right, who was in Rocker from the Crypt, who is, like, legitimately one of the coolest guys. And to add to his kudos, Sam, do you watch Yo Gabba Gabba?
I do.
You know the guy who does the introductions of the songs?
Yeah.
That's him.
When he comes on, I don't really put two and two together.
Neither did I, until I looked him up on Wikipedia.
Rocker from the Crypt. How good were they?
Oh, unbelievable.
They anyway. Broke up a while ago, right?
No, they sort of play sporadically. So okay. He does like 10 different bands. He does Hot Snakes. He did this great surf record called Swami John Rhys and the Blind Shake. He does the Night Marches, Rocker from the Crypt, and then he plays in about 4 other bands. So he's just like, and then but he'll dust off. I think when he gets a bit low on cash, he dusts off Rocker from the Crypt. And
yeah.
Because they obviously get like festival invites all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But I saw them the last time they were here with the Eagles of Death Metal. Before the Eagles of Death Metal had that.
Is that a weird combination of bands?
It was so good.
Yeah.
Right? And my wife took a good friend of hers who didn't really listen to rock music. She was a clubber. Right, and she's like, come along, had a couple of drinks, and she's like standing there watching the Eagles of Death Metal, and she's like, I feel like taking my underpants off and throwing it at the stage.
Yeah, right. From the Crypt. I just remember as a younger fella, like, I loved that abrasive guitar and just everything they stood for. They were one of the first, like, I was in a band like Superchunk, like kind of more pop punk, you know what I mean, like indie pop, whatever. Rock and Crip had that edge to them.
I know.
Which I didn't have in some other band, so.
First time I ever saw them was 1996, Big Day Out. Right.
Ah, yeah, maybe I was there.
And I was big into Scar at that point.
Were you? 16. Three-quarter pants?
Yeah, three-quarter pants.
Did you do
pants.
The dance? What's the dance called?
Skanking. Yeah. The
I'd love to see you do that.
Vans. horrible, right? Horrible music.
There are some good bands.
Yeah, someone said, like, they're a ska band, go and see them. And they're not a ska band, right? No. But they do have horns.
Yeah.
And I just remember standing there and they've got these sequins, like, mirrored shirts on, and they come out and they're doing the whole, like, southern blues rock.
Yeah.
And I still remember when he got up there and there was an old Horton, you know, it was like a shed. And there was no one in there. There was about 50 people in there. And he's like, I left school when I was 16 years old. That makes me two things. That makes me dumb, and that makes me cool. All right. Maybe
who headlined the Big Day Out that year? Was it Nick Cave?
Yeah, Nick Cave.
Yeah, I was there, but I wasn't at the Rocket for the Crypt
Show. I think I might have been over watching the Porkers.
Yeah, the Porkers. Did you know that your mate Sam Shinazzy played with the Porkers, like my band?
Oh, did you?
Yeah, it was locally at the Caring Bar Inn.
At the Caring Bar Inn?
Yeah, and so I had...
What year would have this been?
Oh, like 1995, maybe. I had gone from playing drums in a band I was in, like my first band, to guitar, song, singing, and had a three-piece band. Which
is
eventually
this the C-minus project?
Yeah, which would eventually become what I do now, but it was the very, very early stages. And yeah. I literally was learning how to sing in public. And we were like, you know, Lemonheads, Buffalo Tom, three-piece.
Wow.
We weren't heavy. No. We were distorted. We weren't heavy.
Yep.
And so you remember Jason, I don't know if you remember him, but the record store in Cronulla called Crass. Yeah, did you know Jason?
Vaguely, yeah. I saw Blink-182 playing that record shop.
Jesus.
Just putting a word out there, right? There is no photo evidence of that gig ever transpiring.
Well, they played Caring Bar.
Yeah, but the afternoon at 3 o'clock, like they played a Crass record in store.
Yeah.
If anybody was at that gig that has a photo of it,
send
it to me.
I might put that out. I think some of my mates were there.
Yeah.
Because they were into that.
They were shockingly bad.
We've had this discussion before. They're always bad live. Yeah,
but I mean, like, even...
Do you reckon Oki Josh Bowling, our friend Josh, would be in the Blink-182?
Josh Bowling, yeah, probably.
Young Josh.
Yeah.
Not mature Josh.
Oh, no, Josh...
Muse boy.
Muse? Nah, he wouldn't be.
I reckon as a youngster he might have been.
He might have been.
You let us know, Josh.
Anyway, back when you said about the Porkers.
Jason used to give us gigs, like whenever he could, locally, because he liked us, like me, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, there's not much on the horizon here. I'm like, oh, fair enough. And he goes, but there is this gig. And he set a pause and he goes, it's with the Porkers.
They had a big following then, though.
Yeah, no, but I was immediately just went... They're a bit too intense for my little love songs, you know. And
did you do the gig?
You did the gig, but this is what made it even more intimidating, was it was after they played the late slot at Coyotes.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay, sorry. They used to do that. They'd have like an early set.
I'm talking like 12:30 start for us. After the Porkers with their 10-piece band had... What's the dance called? Skanked. You know, I was very intimidated. They were lovely people. And we played to probably 50 people, and it was a thoroughly good night. And it's one of those things where you don't know whether to do it or not. Your gut's telling you not to, but your head's telling you you may not get another gig for 6 months. Just bloody go do it. Yeah. It's your hometown. Play with the Porkers.
Yeah, good stuff. I mean, they had a big following. I remember I had some old, like, I used to keep gig posters, and so I used to see them all the time. And they did a tour. They did two tours where the Living End supported them.
Yeah, see, I feel like I saw them a different time in Caring Bar with the Living End supporting them.
Yeah.
And the Living End were good. They were always good.
Living End just started out, and like, I remember seeing one of their first ever gigs in Sydney. I think I actually saw their first gig in Sydney.
Yeah.
And going, these guys are really good. Now they suck. What did you think of Gang of Youths at the grand final?
Well, it's going to be controversial to a lot of people, but I don't own anything by them, but I don't mind them. And I thought they were a good choice because they are the biggest band in Australia right now.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have a big grand final, and I get the whole, let's have John Farnham, let's have Daryl Braithwaite, let's have Jimmy Barnes, I get all that. But you know what? This was young, fresh, but still popular.
I thought it was an inspired choice.
Yeah.
One thing I didn't understand, and maybe we didn't get all of the feed watching it, but they didn't do that, their biggest song.
The Heart one?
No. Yeah, the other one. Easy tonight.
That one. All right. I'm not sure, but I've listened to the album probably
It's good.
8 times. I love the Springsteen in the young man. He's got a lot of like Born to Run kind of Springsteen in him.
The internet was just lit up with, where's Barnsley? I'm like, come on.
Well, Barnsley was the day before at the AFL.
Yeah, lame.
Well, here's what I thought about Barnsley's performance. He played Flame Trees, and it was great because Flame Trees is like...
What was this at?
The AFL Grand Final.
What's that?
Let's don't get all weird on me. It's a sport they play.
Ah, right.
And Flame Trees, in my opinion, one of the, like, if you really get down to the core of it, one of the great songs, right? So he yelled his way through it.
That's me, the podcast version of me rolling my eyes, by the way. People.
He yelled his way through it, right? But I still thought, ah, oh, great song. They did no second prize off his debut album. And it's like, nah, this is not working.
Okay, so the face I pulled then was like as if you'd eaten a lemon.
That's how he sounded. Oh. So my point is, Cold Chisel, yes. Jimmy Barnes, no. But
Gang
NRL,
of
Gang of Youths, yeah. They were current, fresh. Yeah. They've sold out 5 and more theatres.
Get on board, people.
So I'm all for it. I like it.
Give someone else a go. Oh, I liked it. I liked
apparently,
it.
Well, not apparently. Darryl Braithwaite played at halftime.
What?
He played at halftime. Did the horses.
Did he?
I'm not kidding.
Really?
Because you remember at the 2016 grand final, maybe it was the prelim, at halftime they played it and everyone sang along.
Oh, so they got him in.
Yeah, it's a thing now, the horses.
Okay. Fun fact, I went to preschool with Darryl Braithwaite's daughter. All right, the first letter that we got is from our good mate Troy in Maitland, ripping up and down the highway on the trucks there. And he says, hey, disappointing finish, but we really blew it against the Roosters. We could have had the week off and been playing in Sydney. How do you boys think next year is looking? Because losing Louis, Ramian, Latelli, Lee and Paulo and our only signing so far is Morris, I think we will be weaker. I know we have some good juniors, but do you think of any of them will be ready for first next year? That's all such pertinent email, Troy.
Okay. Well, yes, disappointing finish. Yes, we should have had the week off. Losing Luke Lewis is hard to replace. That will take some time. Ramian will go on to bigger and better things. Lutelli was a rock. And Eddie had a really great year. Paulo was really versatile. They'll miss a guy like Paulo because he could do so much. That's
Paulo
hard to replace.
Was a real Mr. Fix-It for us. And you know what? I thought that Paulo kind of did a couple of good things when he came on the field against Melbourne, but then he did a couple of dud things. But, you know, he set up that Luke Lewis. He set up that Luke Lewis try, and he just provided a point of difference. We've said it 1,000 times. We love Joey Paulo. I actually think Ricky Lutelli, probably his time had come. You know, you have to turn the players over at the right time, and I don't think he was getting any better. He was solid. Ramian's a big loss. Look, Troy, my view is we will be weaker next year. You look at the incomings and outgoings, we're losing a lot of experience, a lot of quality. We're bringing in experience and quality in Morris, but that doesn't make up for it. And I think the likes of Bronson Cherry and Kyle Flanagan, while they have a lot of potential, they're quite a way away from being elite NRL players.
So on Ricky Lutelli, and I can't specifically point the finger at him, but what I will say is if you look at the Cronulla Sharks field down the left channel, we conceded 22 tries, which is the most tries in the NRL down that channel, the left.
Wow.
So not left touch, not middle, but left. On the left wing, we conceded 7, which is the fewest. Now, both Fecky and Lutelli float in and out of those channels, so you can't really say it's all them, but I found that interesting.
Yeah, because I don't particularly seem as... Like, centre's the most difficult position to defend at, and you never say, God, Ricky, that's terrible
and
all the time.
Let's not leave out Moylan and Wade Graham on that side too, who can be a bit flunky. So they all sort of go towards that channel, but he is the king of that channel, so that'll be interesting to see what happens next year with him. He had a fantastic career with us. He's always welcome back, and I think you might be right. I think it could be good change for him.
Yeah, yep. But I just think that the ledger is weaker. When you look at what we're losing and what we're picking up, you know, we're going to need those young guys to come through. And I just think that with young guys, they might play well for 3-4 games. When you get into the week-in, week-out of NRL Rugby League, it finds them out, and it takes a couple of years.
There's reports that Josh Dugan's being shopped around by the club.
Ah, now, this is something that we didn't talk about. He was dropped. That's the word. Or not selected. He was fit and available for selection.
The word is he was fit to play, yeah.
Well, so he's been dropped. He was dropped.
On the Sharks press release that night, he was 18th man.
Yeah, so he was fit and available for selection, and I thought that was a baffling move, considering we were missing so much experience.
We don't know what his mindset was like. He did have that breakdown the week before.
Well, then
there's
got to
be a
not,
reason.
Well, you say he's not available for selection if that's the case. If his mindset's not there to be playing, he looked. You saw him on the coverage. Did he look like someone who was happy to not be playing?
My mate Dave Riccio was at training that week a lot, and he said he was actually pretty fired up and ready to go.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well.
So something might have happened, I don't know, in between then. It was disappointing for a guy on the money he's on. And he's got 3 more years at the club, and you can understand if that's true that they're shopping around. You can understand the reasons why. On the field, when he's on there, he's been pretty good for us. So there's no complaints there. It's obviously just the amount of games.
I'm blown away why he wasn't playing when he was available to be played. I think when we're missing Wade Graham, when we're missing Paul Gallen, you know, it's just we needed that experience out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Now, on the young blokes, do we think Bronson is any chance of starting the year in NRL?
He's a chance. Flanagan said, speaking to his coach, he sort of said that Dave said that he'd like a bit more time with him. But Dave is, I say this respectfully, he's very reluctant to...
Yeah.
To move players forward because he cares very much.
So it's going to be second full off season with the first grade squad. Yeah,
but Flanagan came out and said, you know,
we'll see him at some point.
We'll see him at some point. He's basically penciled him in.
Yeah. And from what we've seen him do, which again is a lower level, a younger level, it's got the Curtis Scott vibe to it. Young bloke who's ready to go.
Mm.
Whether that's the same thing, I'm not sure. You're right. We're going to be a bit weaker next year. But I want to see the squad and how it might pan out
seriously, we've seen it happen before, you know. Someone comes in and trials and plays the house down in the trials and all of a sudden can be rocketed into contention.
We still don't know what's going on with Seguiaro. There's whispers he's going to Newcastle.
Yeah.
Strong whispers, but he might still be a Shark. So it's hard to weigh up what's going to happen if we don't know what the squad's going to be.
No.
Now, another fantastic letter from Michael from Canberra, or as we like to call him, RCB. Few different sections for us.
He'd like the Porkers.
Yeah, he would. He'd also like Blink 182. He's quite varied, though, I think, in what he likes.
Both kinds of music, ska and punk.
Okay, so he thought the year was pretty good. We lost 40-20 to the Dragons. We were 2 from 6. Fifita looked like he was out for the year. Gallen was hurt for a long time. So in the end, the Melbourne match summed up the squad. Almost good enough, but too many errors and penalties. We missed Paul Gallen in the final. Congratulations to Dave Howlett. How good, great for the club. The pathways are doing well. Farewell to Luke Lewis, the guy who made the tackle, i.e. Ricky. Farewell, good young back again. That'll be Jesse. Farewell, slick Edric Lee. And farewell, Sharkcast tracker hat model, Sepha.
Worth pointing out that we got a lot of mileage out of Joseph Paulin wearing that hat.
We did, and he wore it walking into the ground. His first ever finals game. In his 10-year career, he was wearing our hat. That's beautiful. My man Val was representing. He's still representing it. He was pictured at training. He's in training now for the Australian team, and he was doing some work at Cronulla. He was still repping. He's given us some awards, and I would like to go through it with you, Newman. RCB's Player of the Year, Andrew Fifita. Best Back, Valentine Holmes. Rookie of the Year, Jack Williams. Best Forward, Andrew Fifita. Most Improved, Slick Edric Lee. Best Try, Fecky to Valentine versus Melbourne round, whatever that was, 23-24. Most Exciting Moment, I think he might have been there, Valentine Holmes kick return for the touchdown versus Canberra, which really kick-started Val's year. So that's all very good. Any thoughts on that?
All good. I can't argue with any of that.
All right, we're going to step.
I've probably spoken too much in this podcast, Sam.
Well, you are the host, so.
Oh, zap.
I'm kidding, everyone. Get off the internet. Now, RCB's team for 2019. Valentine Holmes, farewell tour. That's what he's calling him. Sasaya Fecky. He's got Bronson Jerry, and Josh Morris in the centres. He's got someone called Biscotti Doogie. I believe that's Josh Dugan on the wing. Yeah. Moylan Townsend in your halves. Ford's pretty good. Fifita, Brayley, Pryor, Jack Williams, Wade Graham, Paul Gallen. And his bench is Bakuya, Wood, Sorensen, and young Blake Brayley. And he's got a few other guys in the mix as well.
Yeah, I think my only issue with that is I think you'll see Kurt Capewell play a lot more first grade next year. But I think it's going to be one of those years where it really depends on how the preseason goes and how people trial. You can't argue with a lot of that, though.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen with Kurt. He could go that way, or I could see it going another way, depending on how the team lines up. Guys like Sorensen, Jack Williams will get a spot.
How many games do you reckon Kurt Capewell's played?
How many has he played?
Yeah.
I would think 20 or so. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head.
I reckon it might be more than that.
Yeah.
I reckon you might be surprised. I reckon he might turn somehow into like a 100 NRL game player.
He will turn into that?
Yep.
Oh, I hope he does. I think he's a good player. He's a lovely bloke. I just don't know where he's fitting in right now with the Sharks. I don't know his true position. He's got to get those sprigs in his boots fixed.
Oh, yeah, get some bigger boots.
But he's
mate.
A talented fella, and if he's in my first grade team, I've got no issue with that. Now, Newman, why don't
39
we
39 games.
39 already?
Yep.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Why don't we take a little break?
Yeah.
We'll come back and have one more little chat.
All right, this is Sharkcast Radio, voice of the fan. Duh.
Hey, Newman, it's my turn to bring the beer around for our next podcast. What sort of beer do you want?
You know me, man. I only drink beer from the Shark Island Brewing Company.
That's the craft brewery in the heart of the Shire, right?
Sure is, mate. They have a cellar door at 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee. Open Wednesday to Saturday for tastings with weekly food trucks and awesome tunes. You can also get their beers at Gaimere Pub, Northies, the newly opened Prince, along with a bunch of other venues in Sydney. It's 8/29-33 Waratah Street, Kirrawee.
Don't forget that special edition Sharks Premier's Lager. It tasted so good. Go on Facebook, search Shark Island Brewing. Support the Shire's own brewery, Shark Island Brewing Company. It's beer with bite.
They're about 2 metres into enemy territory. It's gone away there for Kronk to give it out wide. Here's Corabetti. He's got them turning around. It's now with Vunivalu. Vunivalu, the season's top try scorer, got the ball away. Bromwich to Smith. Smith to Hampton. Hampton, can he find a gap? He gets the ball away. It's back to Smith. Smith gets it away to Kronk. Kronk's got Corabetti with it. Have they got a chance here? Corabetti's put down. The siren sounds. Cronulla have won it. Cronulla have won it. 14-12. You can turn the light out now. Look at this. Amazing scenes from the Olympic Stadium.
Welcome back to the show. We have no game to preview, unfortunately. So we're going to go through our annual Sharkcast Radio season review. Now, first thing, Sam, we didn't get to go to the awards night and give out our annual Sharkcast Radio Unsung Cult Hero Medal. And normally we have a lot of chat about it, but I'm going to say Edric Lee.
I'm cool with that. The guy I was thinking of is very much sung. So,
Eddie, is that?
Well, our best player all year. So
yeah, it's unsung, yeah, mate. Yeah. Unsung.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm cool with Eddie. Maybe we can get him a little something before he goes away.
All right.
Now, just a few things for you, Newman.
He's finished now. He won't be back.
No, he won't be back. He's still in the area for a tiny bit.
Yep.
Places that we can improve on and places that we excelled in. We were ninth best in attack as far as...
Not even in the top eight.
Points and try scored. But we did make the fourth most line breaks, so the opportunities were there. Defensively, quite excellent. We were top three for points conceded, as in fewest tries conceded, fewest line breaks conceded, fifth fewest missed tackles. So, pretty good defense. Errors, third worst completion rate.
Ba-bow.
Errors themselves, fifth worst.
Mm-hmm.
Penalties awarded, penalties were given. We were the ninth most. and penalties conceded the fifth worst. So they, those things kind of improved as the year went on. But
we were, in the so-called top four for not made the worst number of errors, lowest completion rate, higher number, the highest number of penalties.
Top five,
away.
Yeah.
Top five.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
this,
tells
this
a story.
This one I found very interesting. We conceded the most... we made the most slow and very slow, as they call in the business, play the balls.
Yeah.
That's an issue.
Yeah, we didn't play that up-tempo game, that power game. Yeah, so, and it's, again, we said it at the start of the podcast, what could have been. If you improve those to even sit at eighth, middle of the competition, eighth best in completion rates, eighth best in penalties given away, we could have won the comp.
Now, here's a few more things before we give our ratings that might change your mind on a few things that may not. Valentine Holmes, 22 tries, most in the season for a Shark, and second most in the NRL. He had the most line breaks in the NRL this season. Andy Fifita, second most runs in the NRL, most for a forward, most offloads, most penalties conceded.
Wow.
Mostly all good. Chad had the second most line engagements. For people who don't know what it is, they engage the line without officially making a run.
Yes.
So second most in the NRL.
Plays at the line a lot.
Yeah. Your man Moylan had the third most line break assists in the NRL. We mentioned that prior, Val and Chad played every game they could. Behind Valentine Holmes with 22 tries, Edric Lee had 12, Jesse Ramin had 10. Behind Moyes' 22 line break assists, Wade with 11, Chad with 10, Val with 8. Try assists, Moyes was the man, 18, Chad 15, Val 9, Seguiaro 9. So if we lose Segi,
yep,
someone's got to step up there.
What about the most important stat? How many times Chad Townsend made a drop out from kicking the ball from behind the 70-meter line?
I think we added it at one, didn't we?
I'm kidding, Sam. I'm trying to bring a bit of levity to this boring stat stuff.
Hey. You call it boring, I call it a career. Now, they didn't lose more than two straight games.
Yep.
Lost the opening 2-1, the next two, then lost two, then won six straight. So
you know that 47% of all statistics are made up.
This is all factual, and we didn't lose more than two games in a row. As fans, that's pretty good.
That is great. All right, let's do some... Did Aaron Gray play this year?
Going to say no.
That was last year, wasn't it? Okay. Let's do some alphabetical player ratings. Real quick. Jaden Brayley.
I'm going Aaron Woods. Oh, how are you doing alphabetically? Surnames.
Yes.
What list have you got?
The Wikipedia list.
Wikipedia. I laugh at you. Okay, you go.
Jaden Brayley.
I'll give him a 7 out of 10. He still needs to learn the attacking of the football more. I love how solid he is. I love the defense. I love the composure of the young fella, and I'm happy to stick with him.
Yeah, I'll go with a 7. A very serviceable sophomore year, more difficult year. Got through the season tough, strong, but yeah, there's improvement in his game, and we're going to want to see that next year. Jason Bikuya.
Unabashed fan. I'll give him an 8. I love what he does off the bench. He's a powerhouse and completely underrated.
Yeah, it's a 7 for mine. I don't think he was an 8 out of 10 is absolutely, you know, in the excellent range, as they call it in surfing.
That'd be a 10.
So I'm going with 7. Very serviceable, capable player. Like what he does. Just don't like him as much as you do. Kurt Capewell.
I'll give Kurt a solid 6.5. I like his reliability. I like his versatility. I think his career is going to suffer because he is so versatile. Hopefully, he turns out to be like a Mitch Orbison, where he just has a great career, plays lots of games, lots of big games, and he's serviceable in all those positions.
Yeah, I agree. 6.5 for Kurt Capewell. He's just, we love him, lovely guy. Just got to do more on the field, need more consistency out of him.
Still youngish, right? 23-ish?
Yeah, youngish. Yeah, all right, Kurt Dillon, a couple of games.
It's hard to give him a figure, but he's moving on to Souths, and I'm okay with that. He's an honest toiler. Doesn't crack the line too much.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we won't rate him. Didn't play enough games.
Yeah.
Josh Dugan.
Hard to rate because didn't play too many games. I'm going to give him a... you go first.
There's a little symbol here next to him.
Easy.
It's got an injury. next to him at the Wikipedia. So, look, I'm going to give him a six. I was a fan, right? I wanted him when he's on the field. He's great, but we just did not see enough of him. And then he got in some issues at the end of the year, which it then affected him being played. He wasn't selected. Disappointing signing so far. I'd love to see him turn it around.
I agree with all that. I'll probably give him a seven just based on his on-field performances. He was quite good when he was on the field. So, yeah.
The comeback kid, Sasaya Feki.
Again, hard to rate because, you know, you look at the game against the Roosters, he was a two. But then look at the last five games, he's like an eight. I'll give him a seven. I think he's reliable now and he's going around one more year. Happy to have him. If he just works to his strengths, I think he's a really, really good winger. Just strong hit-ups, keep him away from those kicks and he'll be right.
I was about to scream at the coverage of all of Billy Slater nonsense and they're going, oh, well, you know, Sasaya Feki wasn't injured by it. I saw him at the Newtown game. His arm was in a sling.
Well, that was the next play.
Oh, come on. You're telling me that shoulder charge didn't have an impact? 6.5 for mine. Some stinkers, some genuine stinkers.
Yeah.
Mixed in with some class. So, real mixed bag. He'll be back next year.
A lot of character, though, coming back.
Yep. Andrew Fifita.
Ooh, that's a tough one. I will say 7.5 because when he's on, he's just literally the best in the world. I'm glad he's in our team. I want to see him next year uninhibited from that injury. He carried that injury all year. But I'm a fan. He's beast mode most of the time. If he cuts out the silly stuff, my God, he could be the best ever.
Yeah, look, I'm going to go with an 8. I think that he's maligned. The refs have, you know, I think that although he gave away the most number of penalties, his defense, his attack, the ability to get us on the front foot to score a try, blah, blah, blah. He's a weapon.
Yeah.
And I think that we have come to take him for granted.
I don't know. I certainly don't. I hope that's not the case.
Righto. Kyle Flanagan can't rate him. Not enough games. Paul Gallon.
Again, marred a little bit by injury, but I'll give him an 8 for when he's on the field. He's almost getting better, minus the injuries, getting better with age.
Yeah. 7.5 for mine. Just found his rhythm, plays his role.
Yeah.
Tough, good on-field leader. We really missed him. Another great season from the skipper. Wade Graham.
Yeah, tough to judge because, boy, oh boy, he suffered some injuries. When he came back from maybe the initial injury, I thought he was quite rusty. He hit his stride against Canberra, but then had a few more injuries. Oh, I'll give him, I don't know, a 6.5 just because he wasn't on the field much. When he's there, he's really good.
Yeah, he showed some flashes of brilliance, and I think that in the Roosters game, he was carving them up.
Yeah, yeah. We're a better team with him.
We're a better team with him, but, you know, hampered by injuries, so 6.5. He missed New South Wales selection. I'd just like to see one really fantastic year out of him where he motors us into the best edge back rower in the game. Your boy, Val Holmes. Oh, okay. 10. Righto, moving on.
No, you got it. I'll give him a 9 because...
Whoa!
Well, his first game was, you know, the second worst performance in a Sharks jersey.
A 9!
Aside from Jared Anderson. So, he is just phenomenal and I admire his character for putting up with all the stuff that he puts up with. When he is making those errors and when he was playing at fullback and then the way... I thought the coach kind of muddled up a little bit. I thought he said all summer, you're my man. One bad game, you're not my man.
Yep.
You won't be my man. Now he is again. I think that could be handled a lot better. I love... I'm just so happy that he came back.
You love him.
I love him.
I'm actually going to give him a 9 too.
Beautiful.
I think he's just an elite player.
Yeah.
You know, he started slow, but he was our best player all year. He's our major attacking threat. There are areas of improvement.
Yeah.
You know, he needs to get better at stopping that last line of defense, but, you know, 22 tries in a year, all of those line breaks, all of the highlight reels, playing for Australia, playing for Queensland.
Yeah.
The people that say he's
really
no good.
I don't want to get into it, but they... honestly cannot let him go. I don't care what the circumstances are. Let's move on.
Sione Katoa played about 8 games.
Yeah. I think that we'll see the best of him in the years to come. I was a little bit disappointed with I guess because I was pretty hyped up. We saw him in the trial match and we heard what a great offseason he had, which got him into the starting spot. Didn't quite turn into that player, but again, a couple of injuries really sort of stifled him. I'll give him a six, an honest six, and hope for more next year.
Yeah, a bit outclassed in that grade, but you know, I'm going to give him a 5.5. He's not as fast as everybody said, and we didn't see any runaway tries. I think that he will improve. He finished the year strongly for Newtown. He got a taste of first grade. He's back to work on his game. He's an excitement machine.
He signed a two-year deal. So he's here for a while. So,
You know, that's not me having a jab at him. No. But, you know, he's got a lot of improvement. On the other end of the scale is Slick Eddie Lee.
Oh, fantastic season. Probably an 8.5. I can't really fault him.
Yeah.
Didn't do anything wrong. I think there might have been one, like, tri-cause out of the whole year. Super reliable. I wish he was staying. He's not. He's off for a bigger, better contract. Good luck to him. And a fantastic person off the field, too. So, yeah. And he wins our award this year, so fantastic.
Yep. Eddie Lee, that's an 8 for me for all the same reasons. Ricky Latelli.
Oh, I'll give Ricky a 7 this year, probably no more. Again, pretty reliable in most cases. As you hinted at, it might be the right time for him to go. And for all I know, he's going to dominate. What I hope is going to be the Super League. We'll find out this week.
£1 million game.
But yeah, really great clubman and super happy that we got to know him a little bit. And I'll give him a 7.
Yeah, I'm going to go with a 7. Serviceable type player. Not an excitement machine. You know, if he passes the ball a couple of times there, you know, he might score a couple of tries. But anyway, great bloke. Made the tackle. What about when they were calling him the tackle in Sydney Morning Herald?
Yeah, it's all over the place now.
All right, Luke Lewis, one of the boys is retiring after a great career. Sam.
Well, it's a turn for you. Again, didn't play as much as we'd like due to injuries. But when on the field, you know, he's hard to fault. He doesn't mind giving away a penalty. I can see some negatives in the game, but they are really outweighed by the positives, and I'll give him an 8.
I'm actually going to just give him a 7. You know, his body had sort of packed it in by the end. For a man of his age, unreal. But, you know, you can't put in a 9.5 every year. So, well done, Luke Lewis. Thanks for the memories. But I thought his body just packed it in at the end and he was finishing on one leg.
Yeah, he's made the right call. Okay. Next up we have... What am I looking at here? Okay. After Luke Lewis. We saw a little bit of Braden Ueli. He's hard to rate, though.
No,
but
not enough games.
But I hope that we'll see more of him next year.
He's good for the Jets, though. I'll tell you that.
I think he played one game for us, and he was solid in that. I like the way the kid plays. How are we doing this, Newman? I'm really confused by the list you've given me. Well, let's go Jack Williams. He played a few games.
Yeah, oh, I see. Look, flew into grade as a poor Gallon lookalike. I'm going to give him a 6.5 just because he's got a lot of improvement in his game, but that's a solid 6.5. I thought he was really serviceable and one to watch.
Yeah, I'd probably say 7.5 just because of the immediate impact he had, and I think he's got a big future ahead of him. I wonder how much... He has more than the toughness and the... I wonder if he has a bit of skill about him too. I don't think I saw enough of him to really judge that. No. But hopefully he...
It's hard to judge a player like him because he's given very, very specific instructions.
This is true.
You know, it's not like he can be a Wade Graham with an expansive game, pass, kick, run. He's out there to do a job.
If he can have a little bit of silkiness, a little bit, I think that would be...
Yeah.
That would really, really boost my thoughts. What about, again, you're giving me this crazy list, Matt Moylan.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. Let's go Matt Moylan.
Here, look. Matt Moylan. And then down the list.
Why don't you just keep that? Matt Moylan. I thought Matt Moylan was...
He was terrible at the start of the year.
Oh, my God.
6. Move on.
You need to say more than that. Back it up.
Well...
He wasn't a 6.
6.5 for mine. He had a pretty very slow start to the year. He came good for a while there and really started to improve and then went to water in the biggest game of the year.
I thought it took 5 or 6 games for him to get into it, and then he was consistent up until probably the last game. I like the fact that he brings the unpredictability back to the game as a fan, as a viewer for our team, because we've been so meat and potatoes for so long. However, there is a clash there between the two styles, so they need to work on that.
Yeah, and look, I'm probably being a bit harsh, but if you rated him on the games versus Penrith, he'd be a 10.
Yeah, I'll say 7.5. I think without him, we obviously score a lot less tries and make.
All right,
a lot less
I'll breaks. Bump it up to a 7.
No.
I think 6.5 is no good.
Again, I want to see him with the second off season as well under his belt.
All right, another one of our favorites, Captain America, Joseph Paulo.
Oh, look, when given the chance, he was more than solid for us. I wish that he was maybe trusted a bit more, and that's my interpretation, my words.
Yep.
I'll give him a solid 7. For me, he's up there with you, Latellis. He won't let you down, and every now and then he will excite you.
Yeah, 7's a fair score for him. He never really locked down a position, which probably hurt him, but he always did a job for us. Lovely bloke. And we wish him all the best.
He's going to dominate Super League.
Speaking of lovely blokes, Matt Pryor.
Yeah, Matt Pryor is a lovely bloke.
Prizar.
I'll give him 7.75. I think that he was slightly behind Big Andy today, this year, but...
No shame in that.
When he was on, like, he was just really, really fantastic. I love the line speed. I love the aggression. I hope he plays with us for a long, long time, and I'm a big fan.
7.5 for me. When he gets that line speed happening, it's pretty to watch. We just might not have seen it as much as we would have liked through the middle stages of the year.
I feel like he might suffer from lack of time sometimes. Sometimes Big Andy's playing the big minutes and Matty's playing less and there's less to do.
But you'd have 10 of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan.
All right. Jesse Ramey and another one headed for Newcastle.
Yeah. Close to an 8. He's got some defensive lapses, but he's a rookie. He's played 15 games or whatever. The potential is unlimited, and I'm sorry that it's not going to be with us the next 3 years.
Love watching him play. Love the way he runs the ball. Love him. Yeah, he's a 7.5 for mine. James Seguiaro.
Yeah, tough one because, boy, oh boy, in my opinion, he was really not great for a while. Then when he hit his straps, he was good for, 5, 6, 7 weeks. I'll give him a 6.75 just because I'm a little bit biased against the fact that I think we need him when we have the other bloke there. And I don't really think his style fits our way of playing.
No, I think, there was a while there where he really hit. He was an 8, actually. Yeah. But then again, there was some mud games. I think that brings him back to a 7. Yeah, 7's probably high.
He's solid in his own way. If he's your starting hooker, you're not overly disappointed. The guy can play rugby league.
I just feel like he's just too reliant on the flashy play.
Yeah, there's no other gear, is there? Yeah. It's all flash or it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he could bring it where, he pushes the team around.
Yeah.
Like a Jake Friend for...
Yeah.
65 minutes and then puts on the flash, but it's just like as soon as you get the ball, he's jumping at a dummy half all the time. And
doing the 360s.
Sometimes his dummy half service suffers.
Because he can tackle.
Yep.
He can attack. It just... If he could just tone that down, and when he tones it down, and as you say, he's more like... Imagine if he played like Brayley and then hit the switch, that would be the perfect solution.
Yeah, I know. Arba, see Manafana guy, played a few games and then finished the season in Newtown. I've given him a 6, serviceable, but didn't really...
I'll say 6.5, and I'm happy for him to be my 17.
Okay. Scotty Sorensen, another debutant. He debuted much...
2014, yeah.
Yeah, but a recent debutant. For mine, a 7. Like the way he got about his business. He's not a centre. We've worked that out. But that try, who was that against? Was it against Raiders? Titans.
I can't remember. It was his big comeback game.
Yeah, that was poetry in motion. For me, on the new faces, he was better than Jack Williams. Still a lot of improvement in his game, and I expect we'll see a lot of him in the future.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think he started really strong. He's a tough fellow.
Yeah, he sort of faded off, didn't he?
Yeah, and that might just be, you know, playing so much first grade for the first time in such a, you know, short amount of time. I do worry next year about our edge back rowers with losing Lewis. Wado will not be himself for a while due to the ACL. So you got your Capewells, Sorensens, Williams fighting for those positions. And I can't really fault any of those guys, but I really need them to lift. I need Sorensen to probably play like he played in that game where he scored that try.
Yeah,
he didn't go missing, but he just sort of fell back in the pack a little bit.
Yeah,
but he's got it in him, and terrific fellow, and I'm happy he's in the squad.
Mate, he'll be much better for all that first grade play.
Yeah, I love
he'll
the toughness.
He'll come back a better player next year.
I love
year.
The toughness.
All right, the much maligned Chad Townsend.
Yeah, not maligned for me. I'll give him a strong 7.5. I'm happy he's my halfback. Would I pick others above him? Sure. But I'm happy he's my halfback. Disappointing last game. But I feel like he does suffer from a reputation.
Yep.
So I really thought his kicking improved. And I like the drive of him personally. And it sounds a bit weird, but I think that he carries himself so well that I believe in the guy. I believe he can always lift above of what he's doing. So, yeah, he had some down games, but I'll give him a 7.5.
Yeah, 7 for mine. You know, I think he very much plays close to the best of his ability, what talent he's been gifted by the gods, so to speak. You know, he's not the quickest bloke out there. He's certainly not the most evasive. He doesn't have the biggest boot on him, but he won us a semi-final. He had a couple of down games, but he tackles hard. He pushes up through the middle. It's a 7 for mine. He's not Andrew Johns. Never will be. You know, if an elite 7 comes on the market, I'm going to say we should probably pick him up. But I don't think he's a 5 out of 10 or a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, well said.
All right, last one, Woodsy.
Oh, I'll give Woodsy an 8.5.
Wow. He's good.
He completely played better than a lot of people, including myself, gave him credit for. We saw him play at West Tigers and then Canterbury, which was just a write-off. I loved his attitude when he came to the club. He looked healthy. He looked fit. We met him. He's a huge man.
Great bloke, too.
He's a great bloke. I had no idea he was that big in real life. I wouldn't want to tackle him. And I think that his style of football, which is slightly more attacking than, well, not more than Andrew Fifita, but more than Pryor and Gallon, for example, I think it really suits us because he's sort of in between. He does the offloads, but he's tough.
Yeah.
And I'm happy we got him. I think it was a great move by Flanagan. Again, that was maligned. And I'll give him, what did I say, an 8.5.
Yeah, 8 for mine. Say all the same reasons.
He'll be really great.
There was a couple of times he does suffer from, and this in the Penrith game, we really needed some go forward and just couldn't provide it. Mm. But other than that, yeah, good player, good bloke. He'll be great to have around the team, playing for Australia. I also think he's going to improve, Sam. I think he's the kind of player that Flanagan will improve.
Yeah, with age and with more experience and with our culture, he'll have an off season. He's already bought in, which is great.
That's it. That's everyone.
That's everyone. Just sit in the list. You haven't missed anyone. Okay. Yeah. So it was a year that probably should have reaped more rewards, but it didn't, and we know why.
All right. Well, that wraps us up for season 2018 on Sharkcast Radio. It wouldn't exist. The show would not exist without our sponsors who deserve enormous praise, mostly Dyson Logistics and the legends at the Royal Motor Yacht Club. But we cannot forget Craig from Endeavour Property Services. He actually did some work for me. Get him down. He does a fantastic job. And of course, the other guys are LGB Supplements and Shark Island Brewing Company. So we wouldn't exist if it wasn't for those guys. It's been a funny old year for us. There's been wild ride, roller coaster. But we'll be back live and large early next season. And we wish you all the best. And until then, we say,
Happy Hanukkah, people.